The text for today's message is the Old Testament reading from 1 Chronicles. You'd find that on page 357 if you're using the Pew Bible. And that is the account of the building of the temple in Jerusalem. Dear Christian friends, now the text for today from 1 Chronicles, and it's probably been a while since you've heard a message from 1 Chronicles, right? This is toward the end of the reign of David, the greatest king of Israel. And up until this time, the true God, the God of Israel, was being worshipped in a tent, in the tabernacle. And David wanted, his heart's desire was that he could build a proper temple for the true God that had rescued his people and who had given him great victories in overcoming their enemies that were all around them. He wanted to build the temple, but God had forbidden it. And he said it was for his son Solomon to build. And so in our reading for today, David is getting everything ready so that Solomon, when he takes the throne, is able to proceed with building the great and beautiful temple that would be splendid and worthy of the worship of this true God. And so then in verse 5 of our text for today, David asks all the people this question: who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? And the Hebrew actually says it a little bit differently. It says, who will fill his hands today, this day, to Yahweh? That was their way of asking how one would be devoted to a task or even to ordain, or be ordained to commit themselves to the service of God. It was to fill their hands, that the thing in their hand would be the thing that they would be doing. And then, of course, Yahweh was the personal name for God. But that question comes to us today as well. We're calling it Consecration Sunday. Who among us are willing to dedicate ourselves to God, to serve him with an all-in sort of love that doesn't ask, you know, what's the least I can do? What's the least that is expected of me? But rather asks, in view of what God has done for me, what's the most I can do to demonstrate my all-in love for God? Now, most of you have already answered this question. You answered it in your confirmation vows that you took many years ago, perhaps. You took vows that you would faithfully serve God and worship him. You vowed that you would suffer everything, even death, before you would fall away from this faith. But, you know, it's kind of clear that we need from time to time to renew these vows which we have made. And if we look to the people of God, we certainly would find that that is the case as well, that there were these points of renewal. And for there to be a need for renewal, then there was also many, many examples of backsliding, of having been once devoted to the service of God, but falling away. But even through this falling away, God stands faithful. And he continually offers renewal and forgiveness, and he calls everyone to reconsecrate themselves to the service of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Well, you know, we could look both in the Old Testament and the New Testament and see all sorts of examples of people who started off very dedicated to the Lord, but all too soon they seem to fall away, even the best. We see that time after time in the Old Testament. But perhaps the greatest examples we could use are the three greatest kings of Israel. How they started off filled with the Spirit, but all too soon fell away. We could begin with Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. He was anointed by Samuel. God led Saul into great victories over the enemies of Israel. But all too soon, his heart turned away from the Spirit of God, and he was filled with a spirit of distress, and he even ended his life in suicide. Then there was David, probably the greatest king of all, who for a very long time had a heart to serve God, who sought God and lived for him. But then later, he also fell away, committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then in order to cover up this first sin, had her husband Uriah murdered. And then there was Solomon. He came to the throne after David died. He was his son. And God told Solomon, I'll give you a wish. Grant, ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you. And Solomon didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for victory over his enemies. He didn't ask for land. He chose the gift of wisdom. God gave it to him. And people from all over would come to just simply listen to the wisdom that Solomon gave. But what wisdom was it when Solomon married foreign wives who turned his heart away from the true God? Same thing in the New Testament too. Our favorite example probably would be Peter, right? That he is the one who had faith. He asked Jesus to get out of the boat and to walk on the water, but within, seconds probably, he became afraid and he began to sink. Towards the end of the ministry of Jesus, Peter swore, everyone else may desert you, Jesus, but I never will. But Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Then John in the book of Revelation scolds the church in Ephesus that they have lost their first love. Jesus was speaking, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. And that verse continues, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you and quickly remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So, if you have ever felt like you need to kind of renew yourself, if you felt like you've kind of lost that first love, you're in very good company. Probably every Christian, every believer that has ever lived has been in that position where they found their faith getting colder and their love for Jesus Christ not being what it first was. You know, does the sweet name of Jesus, just to hear his name, does it fill us with joy? Or is Jesus more like an aspirin bottle in the medicine cabinet that if we get a spiritual headache, we'll kind of seek him out? Do we live like people who believe in God? Can people tell that we're different because we're Christians? Do the words of the Holy Spirit apply to us? I have this against you, that you've lost your first love. But it doesn't need to be that way. We can come back. We can renew our lives, and we can find that first love again. And what a wonderful place that is to be. That in the Scriptures we see over and over how God's people, though they would fall away, God would stand with His arms wide open to welcome us back. We have a God whose desire is every moment that we would turn to Him. And how do we find this God? We find him in the Gospels, where we see Jesus. We see Jesus walking among the people. We see him healing. We see him teaching. We see him loving. And our love for Christ is renewed when we see the oneness of his purpose, that he was consecrated to us, dedicated to us. He filled his hands with the work that the Father had him to do, that he might win salvation for us. So at first his hands were filled with a hammer and a saw as a carpenter. And he filled his hands with the Scriptures and he diligently studied. He did everything right so that he might do the final act of consecration for us, that he might be the perfect sacrifice on the cross that would be accepted by our Heavenly Father as payment for our sins. Jesus laid down his life for us. So if we hope to make our lives new, if we want to again find that passion of that first love that we had for the first time, we find it when we see how much Jesus loves us. How much does he love us? To the point of death. How much was Jesus willing to give for our lost souls? Everything. Everything in heaven and everything on earth. He left his throne of glory. He left that all behind, became poor, became a baby, lived among us in this dust, and then went to the cross to die that excruciating death for no other reason than he loved you. So you could picture this in your mind's eye. Your loving Savior, with his arms wide open, he is inviting you. He doesn't have words of stern rebuke, though we might deserve them. He has words of welcome, words of peace, words of forgiveness. Words of welcome which say, whoever comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Picture your Jesus in your mind's eye and see his love for you as he dies upon the cross. This is your loving Savior. And I know that you won't turn your back on him now. Yes, Jesus helps us find our first love again, and that first love is one which fills us with peace and a quiet joy, one that puts everything into perspective, one which says with the firmest conviction, Jesus, you are everything to me. There is nothing that matters more to me than to have you in my life. Who will consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Christ has given us this privilege to serve him in his victorious army. David said to the people with this question, who is willing to fill his hands this day to Yahweh? That was the simple way of saying, who is willing to give his or her life in dedication to this task? Who will fill his hands? But in a sense, David was also saying, who will open his hand today? Who would be willing to open his hand and to share the treasures? Because again, remember, this gathering at the end of 1 Chronicles was about gathering the resources to build the temple. And so in verse 2 of our text, David commits the resources of the public treasury to this task. And then in verse 3, he opens his hand and he pledges his personal treasure. He says in verse 3, moreover, in addition to all that I have provided for the holy house, I have a treasure of my own gold and silver. And because of my devotion to the house of God, I give it to the house of my God. And then he invited the people to do the same. And the result was in verse 9, we heard of the gold for the things of gold and the silver for the things of silver and the wood for the, it went on and on, right, about everything that was being given. But the result was this in verse 9. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with their whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord, and David the king rejoiced greatly. Now those verses speak in probably kind of a practical sense from an earthly perspective. But then David kind of switches gears at the end of this reading, and he begins to speak from a true spiritual perspective in verse 15. But he says, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. David was simply saying that everything that they had was already God's. And it's the same for us. We're just stewards. We manage according to the way that God wants. And then verse 16 gives some perspective to all of this. He said, for we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. If you didn't get the gist of that verse, it's very simply this. David was saying, you can't take it with you. The armored car doesn't follow the hearse. That we're just here for a while, temporarily, and while we're here, we manage the things that God gives us for a short time. So David said, who then will offer willingly consecrating himself today to the Lord? David was also asking the craftsmen who were there, who would dedicate their hands, their labors, their skills to the work of building this temple. That idea of consecration carries with it that idea of dedication and commitment to serve with great sincerity and joy and dedication. That consecration isn't just for today. It's continual and for our lives. And so with what will we fill our hands today. For us as God's people, we fill our hands with the gospel. The gospel which says it is the power of God to salvation. The gospel which is able to overcome all our obstacles in this world. And in our hands we put the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This sword which can never fail for the purpose for which God has called it to be. And so we do as the scriptures say. We move forward with confidence, with joy, not with a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and of a sound mind. In the name of Jesus, amen.